Yeah, let's face each other and bless each other. God loves you. Jesus loves you. It's glorious to see you. The second time for this 2 Samuel, we'll go through the chapter 1 to 10. And there are reasons for the living a victorious life. Last week, as an introduction to 2 Samuel, we shared the insight we can understand in 2 Samuel and what we should note. Let's look at the chapter 1 to 10 today. So what I'm sharing here is not I'm going to feed you every single scripture, but I want you to build up the strength and intelligence to understand and digest by yourself the Word of God. So our church is not just feeding the members. We will train our members and raise a member as a fisherman. Where are we up to? Is the Israelite who has been sent to live as a citizen of God's kingdom and holy priest nation of God. For God, the covenant and the neglect the law and ordinance of God. They even became to demand a human king. Even though their disobedience, God tried to make this crisis and this disobedience of Israel as an opportunity by raising faithful king as a role model who is named Saul. Saul had been humble in the beginning. However, he became to be proud of himself after winning the battle against Ammon. But after winning this battle, he became very proud of himself. So in the end, unlike his mission God planned in him, he adhered to follow his own thought rather than the Word of God. So this is the story of the 1 Samuel. So in the midst of this, the story of David, who was anointed by God after Saul's, continue in 1 Samuel. The structure of 2 Samuel is as shown on the screen. Today's review of chapter 1 to 10 is about the rise and fall of David. You may have already felt understood as you meditate on 1 Samuel. What is the David's character and his strength? I think he is not easily overwhelmed by the crisis and hardship. It seems that he tried to break through the situation by the will of God rather than running away or finding shortcut, which is not the will of God. Fighting against Goliath, even while he was a fugitive, he didn't take the chance to kill King Saul, who has been chased his life. I think that's what I really want to learn from David. That's probably why David do not tolerate those who use others' weakness as their opportunities. So if you look at the chapter 1, tells the story about young Amalekites who attempt to be prized by false reporting about Saul's death. But he ended in David's hand. In chapter 2, there were those who told David that the tribe of King Saul's body was buried by the tribe of Jabesh in Gilead. David sent a messenger to express gratitude and bless the tribe of Jabesh in Gilead for what they've done for King Saul. So David was not a man taking advantage of the crisis of others. In chapter 4, there are similar stories. David didn't give mercy on Rechab and Baanah, who tried to take the advantage of their success by killing Ish-bosheth, the son of King Saul. So what these three events had in common is taking advantage of the crisis of others. David was a man of faith who kept his integrity. David was not a man to take advantage on others' crisis, and even did not use shortcut in his own crisis. How many people live like chameleons today? Depending on circumstances, change their mind on the situation. Many Christians today easily give up their faith if the Word of God doesn't meet their need. Look for a faster shortcut, easier shortcut. Even we can find it easily in a school these days, and many bullies, and even though you're observing people get bullied, you don't want to stand and confront for it because you were afraid about you get disadvantaged. This is what actually happening in Korea, the high school. So everyone you heard about the principle of God is a sowing seed. If you look at the Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 says, "Let those who wept as they planted their crops gather the harvest with joy." This is a principle of God. But however, many Christians today, rather than follow God's principle of sowing seed, they are searching for a supernatural power to change their life, a situation like a magic, immediately, without putting any effort. The path of the faith is a narrow path, as Jesus said. Sometimes you have to put your life for, like a Daniel. So we are respecting those seniors of our faith in the Bible, and we want to follow the model life of the seniors of faith in the Bible. The truth of God does not change according to time or situation, but is the faith in eternity and walk its way, even though no applause, but is ridiculed, bullied, spit upon, even in the threat of life. It is true life of the Christian that walks silently like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was treated harshly but endured it humbly. He never said a word, like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared. He never said a word. It is not faith to show how strong God is by inflicting mysterious miracle like a magic. Even people mock and said, "If you are a God, save yourself." Jesus asked God to forgive them on the cross. The true faith is to walk silently on the cross that gives everyone life. The Christian should not escape the crisis and follow the value of God's word. Because we believe God promised He will give us the way. In chapter 1 and 2, we can see David's attitude of being blessed. In chapter 3, there are battle between Saul and king for a long time. So the fighting between the forces supporting Saul's family and those supporting David went on for a long time. As David became stronger and stronger, his opponent became weaker and weaker. God does not make something like a magic by transforming the circumstances or man in a moment. As is written in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. Little by little, He will drive out these nations as you advance. You will not be able to destroy them all at once. For if you did, the number of wild animals would increase and be a threat to you. God doesn't let David become a king just because he defeated Goliath, but He prepares David so that he can fully rule the nation and expand his vessel. So before you ask for something great, you must grow up to be someone who can handle something great. Would you be able to afford if God would bless you with a big company like a Samsung? Not only we pray for blessing at such a level, but we must be prepared to handle the blessing. Before God blesses tremendous blessing, He spends the time to raise up people until they are ready to rule the nations. After David was anointed in his teens, he overcame Goliath and avoided Saul's sword in his 20s as a fugitive living in the wilderness. Then he became a king of Judah in his 30s. So God, that is how God prepared people. David had a dream in his teens. He was prepared in 20s, and he became king in his 30s. Also, he had to spend another 7.5 years as a king of the Judah before he became king of all Israel. From the chapter 3, verse 6 shows the contention between the tribe of Judah and 11 tribes of Saul's son Isboses. Saul's son Isboses was a king, but he had a lack of power. Most of the power held by the military commander named Abner. And there was a Joab, the commander of the Judah, of David's men. So Joab was a commander of the Judah, but he kills the Abner for his revenge of his younger brother. He seems to be the royal, but his royalty is not for the David. His royalty actually was for himself. So when we live as a Christian and work in a church, we have to look ourselves and center of our heart. Is that my commitment, my royalty is for the God or for our passion? So whatever the group or cell, a church you belong to, we need to look closely at what is our true intention and royalty. In chapter 3, verse 2 to 5, or chapter 5, and chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, there are records of children of David. We can use this record to see whether David's life was in accordance with God's commands and ordinance. God commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17, the king is not to have many wives, because this would make him turn away from the Lord, and he is not to make himself rich with silver and gold. However, in chapter 3, children of David, when he was a king of Judah, and in chapter 5, the children of David, when he became a king of all Israel, most of the mothers were different. He had many wives, up to 19. Whilst David was showing great works of faith, he lived a life with a crack at the bottom of his heart. Perhaps it was a culture, the king to have many women, but it is never right for those who serve God. Our comparison is not to the world, but God's ordinance and command. You probably say, oh, that church accepts the homosexuality. That church accepts homosexuality as well. But does Word of God actually accept the homosexuality? This is the vessel with the crack at the bottom of the pot. So no matter how much you pour into the bowl with cracks, it will eventually leak out. We generally think that David in chapter 11 is punished for the adultery with Bathsheba. But God does not punish men for just one mistake. He is understanding, He is forgiving. He is keep on warning continuously, informing us in advance what will happen when we allow the sin of greed and the lust. The principle of God is that even though we repent, we cannot undo what we have done. That is a principle of God written in the Bible. It's like milk and water leak on the ground. You cannot put it back into the crack pot. The reason that David became the greatest king is not because he did more good than bad thing. No matter how good things you do, you are a still sinner. But David, he made a mistake. And he failed, had a life of, but he had a life of obedience that repented and turning back. After the incident of Bathsheba, David had not taken any more wife and all concubine. When David is old, his servant went out to select Abishag, the best looking Shunem woman in the country, But David did not sleep with the woman. And 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 4 said, the 10 concubines identified during the Absalom's rebellion are probably David had before the Bathsheba's incident. The reason why is because of the case of Bathsheba, it is hard to say that David has fallen into such a sin again after such a painful repentance as Psalm 51. David had a life of repentance from the sin. Through the repentance, he could recover himself. However, there was no way to undo what had happened. David had to observe the consequence of his mistake as a result of his lust in the generation of his children. Chapter 5 tells David now becomes the king of all Israel. So when he was 30, he became the king of the Judah, and 7.5 years after, he became king of whole Israel. After he became a king of all Israel, there is a record of conquering the city of Jerusalem. The home of Jebusite, which had never been taken from the time of Joshua. And record defeating the Philistine who had been harassing Israel. Chapter 6 speaks of David for bringing Jehovah's ark. But what eventually we could learn was that faith without knowledge of the Word of God is very dangerous. Before you do the thing, it is necessary to know the correct knowledge and exact meaning of the Word of God. The story is this. When David became a king of all Israel, he tried to bring the Ark of Jehovah to his city. When the cows jumped, the Ark of God was almost fell off. So Uzzah tried to hold the Ark and he suddenly dead. The reason for Uzzah's death can be seen by reading Numbers chapter 4. Because it says, the Ark of God should be carried by the priest only by descendants of Kohath. Because Uzzah died because of his ignorance, not because of disobedience. So sometimes ignorance can cause the death. No matter how good your intention was, when carrying the ark, he ordered it to be wrapped completely and to carry by a pole with a pole attached to the ring of the ark. So David and Uzzah had no knowledge of it, about God's law and regulation. So regardless of how good your intention was, if you don't know about the law, you get that. It's like you holding the electric cable, which has there is a sign, has a 25,000 voltage electricity. But so if you hold this electric cable, immediately you get that. It's not depends on your intention. This is just a consequence. This is how we should look at the word of God and His principle and His law and ordinance. When God's word say do not means very dangerous. It's related to our life and death. But if you neglect it, and then the consequence is death. When this is happening, people blame God and say, God shouldn't be like this. That is the same as like there, even though there is a sign, do not touch a hazard, 25,000 volts electricity, and you hold it and you're dead, can you blame the people? Can you blame others? If God protects you from doing all this wrong thing, it's like you living like a robot. God intervene every single second of our life. It's like a robot and you are manipulated. The worst habit of Christian is to neglect the word of God and to live according to their idea. Then when they have a trouble later, people blame God. Because there is a way of life and a way of blessing in this word, we are taught to listen and meditate and share every day. Respect the value, respect the word of God and value the word of God. Because in this word there is a life, there is a blessing, there is a way of eternal life. Above all, above anything, we prioritize the sharing the word of God. I want you to manage your time and priority and meditate the word of God, especially the word we covered on Sunday, and prepare for the cell meeting and implicate into your daily life. Try to live according to. So our concerning should be how to live according to the word of God. So it is important to sharing personal lives and our personal problems during the cell meeting. But there should be the priority of sharing the word of God. Based on this, we can also share our personal life. So chapter 7, it's a David's thought on God, so that God's blessing on David. Now, David was so blessed. So if you look at the chapter 7, verse 2, then the king said to the prophet Nathan, here I am living in a house built of a cedar, but God's covenant box is kept in a tent. David was a man who believed in God's living and His grace. The ark, the symbol of God's presence, was in the tabernacle, and David was living in a very fine palace, which put a heavy burden on David's heart. This shows how David lived consciously of God's actual existence. It seems to have a life of Karamdale, life in front of the God. David's mind was for God, so that David thought of the surprise, even to God building a palace for his ark. But what temple would God need? He is the owner of the whole universe. He owned this cosmos, this universe. But the important thing here is God was moved by the David's heart. One of the secrets of receiving God's blessing is considering God and willing to count His heart. It's like a parent impressed when their children collect the pocket money and make a small gift on Father's Day from the Father's Day store, even no matter it's at $1, $2. Aftershave, sometimes it smells so strange and weird, but you are so happy about it. Because, not because of the gift, but because of the heart of your children. This is the what God is seeing in the heart of David. We have been learned only mighty God since we are young. So we never thought about God would have a joy and gratefulness of a human being, and sometimes regret and tears, angers. But when we read the Bible thoroughly, we became to know God is very emotional, like our parent. He is moved by a small heart the children think about, and he weeps behind. Our rich feeling, keen reasoning, willingness to live in our life are from where? It's from God. Because we were created by the image of God. God is angry, severe jealousy, heartbreaking, loving, comforting, and appealing to people. Therefore, God was moved by David's heart and blessed him with wonderful promise. If you look at the chapter 7, verse 8. So tell my servant David that I, the Lord Almighty, say to him, I took you from looking after sheep in the field and made you the ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have defeated all your enemies as you advanced. I'll make you as famous as the greatest leader in the world. Thus, until verse 17, as God saw Abraham's faith and made a covenant with him, the covenant David was made. The first about David himself. God promised to make David's name honorable. So promising that David's house and David's kingdom would be preserved forever, and David's throne would be firmly established forever. And when he dies, he will be buried with his ancestor. The second is a promise to the nation of Israel. God has promised to bring peace for Israel from all enemies without ever being oppressed or attacked. The third is a promise of David's descendant. God promised to raise descendants of David and to fortify the kingdom forever. When you read this, what you should not be mistaken for this covenant, God is not promising this privilege to David alone, but for all who live in the faith. Thus, to establish an eternal and solid throne through the David's descendant does not mean that he will give them kingship. Because of this promise, regardless how they live, but to train stronger as a divine people. You can see the chapter 7 verse 14. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him as a father punishes son. Based on this word, we can clearly understand God does not say, I'm going to leave you whatever you do. He says, like a father, if you are wrong, I'll punish you like a parent does to the son. That means he will train because he loves you. He loves Israel. Later we'll see the Solomon, King Solomon's life. His beginning was very obedient, but his later age was very much disobedient. It's not the cancellation from the God, because it's not, it's a cancellation of the blessing and cancellation of the covenant with David. It's because of the disobedience of the people, they could not enjoy what has been promised. That is why God takes a responsibility for those who have been chosen once in Presbyterian doctrine. This is a clear decision and promise from the God's point of view. So he will keep it. However, from the human side, like a soul, like a Judah Iscariot, if you insist on walking along your own greed to the end, it is certain that you cannot be entered the party in heaven and become his covenant people. This is a consistent message that continued to be seen through the history of the Bible. The parable of 10 virgins that Jesus spoke in parable would be the sure evidence. What can we human do for God? However, even we are the weak, remember God and his will. Try to live for him. God is moved by such a heart as David, who are trying to count heart of God. I hope every one of you try to impress God by your heart. Try to remember the heart of God where you are. Chapter 8 to 10 show David's ever-increasing kingdom and the attitude of keeping an integrity with faith in Coramdale make him to be a victorious person. When God was at his center of the heart, he was not proud to be himself, even winning all wars, all the battles. Always he gave the people a fair and justice and lived close to the weak and the afflicted. So in chapter 9, we can find that David lived a generous life even to the family of Saul and the share food at his table. We can easily find a politician's fair tiers, the fourth tiers for the media. But I believe David is a truly lived that kind of life, because he looked up the movie Boset, the son of the Jonathan. He was a sincere, and he had an integrity. So he had enough reason to be blessed. So I want all of you have such a victorious, blessed, faithful attitude, and make this as a habit of your life, and have a dream in your teens, and trained, equipped in the 20s, and influence the society, the nation, when you are 30s. In chapter 10, we can see the crisis became the opportunity of the triumph for the David, and his territory is greatly expanded. Even though David is still, the nations around feel threatened, and they came for a war. From the Edom in the south to the Aram, Soba, and the Hamat in the north, they were all destroyed by David and became the reign of David. Those land conquered the times of the David, actually given when they enter into the promised land 400 years back. But no one could take that promised land until the David's time, even though that was promised from the God. Now from the chapter 1 to 10, we could see that David had a good reason for being so blessed and able to live a victorious life. If you look at the map, even if David didn't try to expand his territory in the north, Aram came for war first and expanded his territory. If we compare to today's map, it's like the screen. It's edited to what is now Syria, includes Jordan, Lebanon, even part of Egypt. So behind this victorious life, we can find, because he lived the life of Coramdale, life in front of God. It is because he lived a life of integrity with faith. It was because he was able to control the emotion and anger by keeping the word of God deeply, habitually in his life. It was because of the habit of confirming the right direction and living for God's will. For he was the one who wiped the tears and comforted the people without trampling on those in crisis. This is because he lived a life according to right principle, not deceived by the voice of those who take advantage of others' crisis. Because he lived a life that impressed God. This is because he did not keep the word of God roughly, but to keep it perfectly, completely, and right. By meditating the attitude of life that David lived in and being blessed, I wish you all to enjoy and share the same blessing of the David in your days. Let's pray.